what's up? This is Movies on Up. He went from the eye of the storm into the arms of a hurricane. I'm Dave, joined by my force of nature of a co-host, Mr. Ryan.
I would say I'm very hurricane-like.
Yes.
Full of bluster.
With hurricane-like arms, whatever that means. We are Movies on Up. I'm Dave, he is Ryan. Our tagline was what I just said. He went from the eye of the storm into the arms of the hurricane. I guess it is still on the screen. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or the Twitter, @moviesonup. If you are right and we pick you, you will have a prize package
blown your way.
Ocean's 8 heists into theaters this Friday.
Looks to steal some of your hard-earned
money. Yes, yeah. Sandra Bullock and everybody else. Cate Blanchett, Awkwafina, Rihanna, Mindy Kaling, Sarah Paulson.
Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, an awesome cast. Helena Bonham Carter. They come into the theaters this weekend to carry on the Ocean's franchise and give it some new life. We thought, hey, we haven't done our favorite Sandra Bullock episode, so we're coming at you this week with our five favorite Sandra Bullock. As I was doing this list, if you just ask me randomly, do you like Sandra Bullock? Yeah, she's charming. She's fun. She's very charismatic on screen. I enjoy Sandra Bullock. Then you ask me to pick my five favorite Sandra Bullock movies, and I might have some trouble because I'm not her target audience. And she's made a career out of making movies for an audience that I'm not a part of.
Yeah, I think a lot of actors are like that. They have generally favorable Q ratings, if that's the term we want to use. If it's The Rock or Sandra Bullock, I mean, they make movies, they make a lot of money. They're easily digestible, but those movies aren't for us. Like you said, we're not the demo for some of these actors and actresses. So, we have to pick movies that are outside of what they normally do, outside of their wheelhouse, so to speak. Those are the ones that you'll find on our lists.
I managed to squeak out a top five that I think's quality. It is interesting because I feel like she's one of the last rom-com queens that's still like kicking, but she's moved on past it because
certainly,
I mean, yeah, rom-coms still exist, but not like they did 5, 10, 15 years ago. That late 90s, early aughts, it was a heavy season for rom-com. You're not seeing them like that anymore.
Specifically, it was either heavy drama, really, or rom-com was where you were going to have a woman be the lead role. Now I think there's a lot better roles for women. There's better parts.
And that's,
so they're not just the love interest of some guy.
Somebody like Sandra Bullock can go off and do these movies where she's getting award love because those roles are there. 20 years ago, if Jennifer Lawrence breaks on the scene, that's what she's going to be.
That's how she breaks on the scene.
Yeah, that's how she gets on there, or that's where she falls in. But, I mean, you figure her last 2009, I think, she had All About Steve and The Proposal. And those were really her last rom-coms. And just off the top of my head, I don't think of any like major rom-coms recently. Not just not starring her, but just in general.
That's the thing. I think rom-coms are different now. I mean, The Big Sick last year was a romantic comedy in that it was
but
a comedy.
Transformed.
Right, yeah. It's very, they're different roles. And maybe the best way for an actress, and I'll look at somebody, and it's there because she has comedic chops instead of Sandra Bullock. We'll get into that. But like Tiffany Haddish back in the day may have had to break in through a rom-com because she's funny and she can do that. But instead, there's a movie like Girls Trip where she can break, or Melissa McCarthy can break in Bridesmaids.
I wouldn't consider a romp, like in
a
traditional sense.
No, it's certainly not a traditional sense, but it is a romantic comedy for, this cynical era that we're in now. By the same token, we're not seeing Hugh Grants anymore.
Exactly. Somebody like Chris Pratt, I feel like that's where he would have ended up having to make his jump, is along that line. And it's good. It's better. That means there's better roles. These movies still exist. I feel like, and I could be off base, but just based off top of my head, I feel like the kind of movies that are traditional rom-coms, I feel like are more going straight to Netflix almost.
Yeah.
Like, they still exist, but I feel like they're going straight to the audience instead of those wide theatrical releases. And that's not a bad thing.
Because they're not spending money on that anymore.
Yeah. And they're cheap enough made that,
right,
in a way, it's better because when they're a thing and Sandy Bullock becomes as big as she is, you turn a movie that you can make for $15 million now all of a sudden that's her.
That's what she's going to get paid.
That's what she's going to get paid. So that $15 million turns into $30 million. And just like with horror, I just feel like it shifts. These actresses are able to get better parts right away without really having to win an audience like that. But I just think it's hard to talk about Sandra Bullock
and not mention
without
romantic
talk
comedies.
About romantic comedies, because I don't know how many are going to come up. I don't have any of them on mine.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, we're not the demographic for that. I don't have anything that I would consider a romantic comedy on my list.
And I mean, she's entertaining. She's likable. Like, yeah. You know, if I get stuck watching one of her movies, like, she's enjoyable.
I don't mind The Proposal.
Yeah.
I don't think. That's the one where she's Canadian.
It's Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. That one's fine.
Enough about that. Ryan, your fifth favorite Sandra Bullock rom-com.
It isn't The Proposal. My number five is a movie that gets a ton of shit, and it's kind of unfair because it's not a bad movie. It's just perhaps, according to some, one of the worst movies to ever win Best Picture, and that was Paul Haggis' Crash from 2005, starring Don Cheadle, Sandra Bullock, and Matt Dillon. The Best Picture that year should have been Brokeback Mountain, but I don't think at that point the Academy was really ready to embrace homosexuality. But racism, that's an entirely different story. The backlash to this movie, I think, has little to do with the movie itself. It's an ensemble cast, which has some really great performances from people like Dylan. When we did our Michael Pena list, or at least my Michael Pena list, this was on it because he's fantastic in this. Loretta Devine is
Ryan
really
Phillippe.
Good. I mean, you can really go
Thandie
down.
Thandie Newton, I think,
Newton.
Is fantastic in this.
And Sandra Bullock's good as well. I think Crash signaled that Bullock was ready to move from doing action movies or comedies or rom-coms to a more serious phase in her career. I mean, that's not to say that she would abandon these things completely. She still makes comedies and action movies from time to time. There may be newer action or comedy movies that are on probably both of our lists later on. But this showed that she had a dramatic side to complement what she could do well in comedies and what she could do well in action movies as well. And that dramatic side would serve her well, and she'd earn a couple future Oscar noms based off it.
If this movie doesn't win Best Picture, it's viewed completely differently
right. In
history, because I think people view it as one of the worst Best Picture winners.
They do.
Where if you don't win Best Picture,
it's one of the most underrated movies ever.
Maybe. Or it's just a good movie from 2005 or 2004.
Yeah, but I mean, realistically, like, before we move on, the five pictures that got nominated, Crash, Brokeback, which probably should have won, Capote, it's a decent movie with a great performance, Munich, and then the other one was Good Night and Good Luck. Those are your five movies. You got to pick one.
Pretty forgettable year.
If anybody other than Brokeback Mountain wins that award, it's one of the worst movies to ever win. So
except Munich. Munich's kind of kick-ass.
Munich's good.
It might come up in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Brokeback, that's one of those. Like in another movie that might come up in a couple weeks. Social Network, that's one of those where like King's Speech is just kind of, I don't know.
Which might come up too.
Maybe. But my number five is one of her more recent ones from 2015. Another movie that got a lot of crap. Directed by David Gordon Green, who I really like, although his career has been in this weird transition. Starring Sandra Bullock, Billy Bob Thornton, Anthony Mackie, Ann Dowd, Scoot McNairy, Zoe Kazan. Like, fantastic cast. Our brand is Crisis. I feel like this is one of those that came out and it's like, okay, we got Sandy Bullock, we got Billy Bob. It's a ripe political statement. This is going to be an Oscar movie. And then those early reviews come in and it just kind of like, instead of getting an Oscar release, it just kind of sneaks away. And then it just kind of shows up on the movie channels eventually. Like, it just kind of gets forgotten about. It's not an Oscar-worthy movie. It's competent. Like, it's
entertaining.
It's entertaining. I mean, Sandra Bullock and Billy Bob Thornton, it almost feels like, you know, if Vince Carter and Jason Terry were to both score 25 in a game against each other, because it's these two people that, not really at the end, maybe more so for Billy Bob, but like these two people that have carried movies heavily that you don't see carrying as many movies lately going head-to-head, and they still deliver. They still perform. It's just not like when they were younger. I liked it. It was good.
That's a deep NBA reference. At this day and age, it's a deep NBA reference.
Basically, it's and it's not as fitting for Sandra Bullock, but she isn't in two or three movies a year now. You know,
who is she? Is she the Jason Terry?
Probably the Vince Carter, because he can still ball.
Okay.
He's still relevant. Billy Bob is he's not really carrying movies anymore. But Carter, if you need him to go out and score 20, he can. He can't do it every night.
Jet's got a ring, though.
Yeah. So does Sandy.
That's what I'm saying. So is she the Jason Terry?
No.
It doesn't matter. No, nobody's coming with us down that rabbit hole.
No, no.
Sorry,
and it was a reach. It was a reach. But
impressive reach.
These two people that you're used to headlining big movies going head-to-head in this smaller movie, essentially, with a great supporting cast, and it's competent. It's watchable. It's not, you know,
it's not going to change your world.
It maybe could have been nominated in 2005 for Best Picture. Like, it could hold its own against
it. Could have lost to Brokeback Mountain, too, yeah. My number four will just stay right in the same year, from 2015, directed by Kyle Balda and Pierre Coffin. It's Minions, starring Sandra Bullock, John Hamm, Michael Keaton, and a bunch of tiny yellow fellas. It may say more about me than Sandra Bullock that I would include this movie on my list. It is the weakest movies in the Despicable Me expanded universe. But I like the Minions so much that when they can make a list, they probably will. What I appreciated about this movie is that, at least in this time around, our main human is the antagonist. Gru is a guy that he wants to be evil, but he really doesn't. The movie is about him doing cutesy things. What I appreciated about Sandy Bullock's character, Scarlet Overkill, she was just bad. And the Minions, they had the Gru arc. They thought they wanted to be bad, and that's a lot of fun. But then they had a bit of a conscience shift in that movie as well. I think that what I like about her character, she just had the intention to be evil, and she had charisma. Sandra Bullock is a movie star. It takes charisma to do that.
Not every movie star can carry into the voice acting.
Right.
So it is a skill that not everybody has. She did pull it off in this.
I thought so.
Yeah.
It's not going to change your world, but it's fun.
This was almost my five, but I thought you might have it, so I left it off. It's good, but I feel like after the first Despicable Me,
right,
2, 3, and Minions all kind of blend together for me. If I had to rank them, I think Minions might be second or third, like on its own, because I do like it. I like it a lot. I like it better than 3. It's right there even with 2 for me, but it was fun. It was what it needed to be. I'm fine if there's never a second one, and I feel like they kind of put that nail in the coffin with the ending of it, to where it'd be hard to do a second one with that ending, which I'm fine with. My number
4
should probably be higher. It's one of my favorite directors and one of her most iconic performances, not her Oscar-winning role, but a nominated role from 2013. It is Gravity, directed by Alfonso Cuarón, starring Sandra Bullock and space. It's very, very hard for one person to carry a movie with a supporting cast. For one person to carry a movie themselves is a whole other thing. And like, Tom Hanks did it for a large part of Castaway, but then you had Helen Hunt, and this is Sandra Bullock's movie. Everybody else dies early on.
At least you had Wilson in Castaway.
Yeah.
Granted, it's an inanimate object, but when Wilson dies, you feel bad.
Yeah. Clooney has a couple appearances in here, but
cameos.
I mean, talk about a charismatic cast. Like, if you're only going to have 2, because I think it was originally Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie signed on for this movie, which,
this is better.
Same level of charisma, but I feel like this is better. Her character was cool. She's a teacher. I believe she lost a kid, if I'm remembering right. It's been a while since I've seen it.
She definitely had a kid. I can't remember if it was still alive and she was trying to get back to her.
Yeah.
It was a daughter.
But she's really, really good. And it's one of those that it's tough. Like, I watched it once. It was good. I don't need to watch it again. It's anxiety inducing. It is tough. It is a tough watch, but it's really good visually, performance wise. It is a great, well pieced together movie. And it hinges on her performance. Cuarón can Cuarón as much as he wants, but if you put Blake Lively or Katherine Heigl in there, like, it's going to fall flat. And he was lucky to get Sandra Bullock, and the movie soared.
This movie is going to come up again later because I'm unwilling to move it, and it is going to be much higher on my list. I might try and spoil one that's higher on yours with my number 3. From a director that I don't give him a lot of shit. I give him shit for one movie, but I genuinely do like Paul Feig, and I genuinely do like Melissa McCarthy, and teaming her with Sandra Bullock in 2013's The Heat. I was fascinated to see how this movie would turn out. I don't have Miss Congeniality on my list, but I think that's the movie that probably comes to mind first. Maybe when you think of Sandra Bullock in general, but certainly I think when you think of her comedies, as good as The Heat is, and I think it's far superior to Miss Congeniality, I still think that that's going to be kind of the one that has the number one spot in most people's brain when it comes to her. So, I mean, it shouldn't have been a surprise to anybody that about a decade later, she could perform well in a comedy. She had to carry those Congeniality movies, but this time she'd be sharing the load with McCarthy, playing the straight woman, which is an entirely different skill set than she had shown before. I realize that this is a buddy cop movie, but it's also very much a Melissa McCarthy movie. For Academy Award winner Sandra Bullock to show up in Melissa McCarthy's dojo and let her have the shine, I think shows the talent that Sandy has and the relative lack of ego. She is a name above the title talent, and this is a Melissa McCarthy movie, and I think she was fantastic in it. She could make exclusively Sandra Bullock movies if she wants to at this point in her career, but the fact that she was willing to play second fiddle to McCarthy, I think together they made a really funny buddy cop action movie.
Yeah, this was my number two, but I'll make it my number three just to keep it flowing. I love this movie. I mean, I'm a McCarthy shill. I love her. I love Feig. Katie Dippold knows how to write for Paul Feig. My only complaint is that, I mean, this was really playing up the Sandra Bullock is the goody two-shoe, the America's sweetheart, and Melissa McCarthy is
like a slob.
Is the opposite.
Yeah.
It played that up a little bit more. Maybe it's more interesting if the roles are reversed because it's not what you expect, but they played so well together, and Sandra Bullock just was in it. Like, in where she let McCarthy shine, her character and her were just along for the ride, and it paid off so well. Like, I just think of them, her altering her outfit.
Yeah, in the bathroom.
Like, there's so many good laughs in this. And for somebody who, she was a rom-com queen, that's a comedy. She was a female comedy star, and you used to have to do rom-coms to get that. So, I mean, she has the comedy chops. You know that. She carried comedies for 15 years leading up to this. So for her to step aside, kind of, and she's still got that timing, and then you're just working with a juggernaut like McCarthy.
In a very different comedy.
It worked, and I loved it. Because you don't see buddy cop movies like you used to, either. This felt like it was late 80s, early 90s. Like, it felt like out of that Lethal Weapon era. You don't see those kind of movies all that much, so to see one that put these two great female comedic actresses together with a great comedy director, I loved it. I had high hopes going into it, and it met and exceeded all of them.
We've talked a lot about comedies, and we've had comedies on the list, and we're not probably going to have romantic comedies. But the other genre that I throw around a lot when it comes to Sandra Bullock, and there are action elements in The Heat, there's action elements in even Miss Congeniality, but I mean, when it comes to action and Sandra Bullock, the first thing I think of is Speed from 1994, directed by Jean Dubont, starring Keanu, Dennis Hopper, Sandy Bullock. This was early in her career, and I would say that she did a great job. This is a big-time movie. This is a summer tentpole blockbuster.
Keanu's at the top of...
Exactly. So she did a great job early in her career of being this second banana in really, really fun action movies. And I wouldn't blame her being promoted to top banana as the reason Speed 2 failed. It lacked everything that Speed had, namely a compelling script, a good story that you...
And that chemistry.
That too. But while Speed wasn't hers to carry, I think she was excellent in an action movie. She's, for most of her career, been a great every woman. And I think that in this movie specifically, she's the stand-in for the audience. She's the ordinary person that gets put into an extraordinary situation. And her ability to relate to the audience is what jumped out in Speed. And I think that's what allowed her to be. I mean, you're not America's sweetheart if people don't relate to you. You've already mentioned his name early in this podcast, Tom Hanks. I think the two of them have very similar appeals. And the thing with Tom Hanks is, you know, every guy can look at him and be like, all right, yeah, I can be that character, or I could see Tom Hanks as a normal dude, like Captain Phillips. So yeah, yeah, that's just a guy. Tom Hanks is just a guy.
The Tom Hanks comparison is very, very good. I feel like she is everything that people give, maybe not so much now, but a few years ago, give Julia Roberts credit for being.
Yeah.
I feel like she's even more Julia Roberts than Julia Roberts is. Maybe because she's still relevant and she's still, you know, headlining movies and doing stuff. You know, it just dawned on me. She's almost in that old Harrison Ford model where she's only doing one or two movies every 2 or 3 years. Because she had Minions and Crisis in 2015. Before that, Gravity and the Heat were 2013. And then now she's got Ocean's 8 in 2018. So she's not...
And Bird Box.
...working a ton. But she's still relevant. It's not like, oh, where'd Sandra Bullock go? Because what she's doing is making enough of an impact. And she's really, really good. And in Speed, Dennis Hopper, he was a great villain in that movie. And he was a movie star at that point.
Yeah.
Keanu, at the peak of Keanu, I feel like she stole that movie.
Mm-hmm.
She was the breakout of that movie.
Absolutely.
And I feel like that movie's not what that movie is without her. Cruise Control, you can say a lot. Like, Jason Patrick is not Keanu Reeves. It's a retread. It was a cash grab sequel. The chemistry wasn't there. It just wasn't compelling. My number two, though, is from 1996. It was my number three, but I bumped it up. Based on the John Grisham novel, directed by Joel Schumacher, It's a Time to Kill, starring Sandra Bullock, Samuel L. Jackson, Matthew McConaughey, Kevin Spacey. This came at a time when Grisham movies were a regular thing. You were getting a Grisham movie or two a year. This is probably my favorite one. This and Rainmaker are my two favorite Grisham ones, but I think this one by far, where Samuel L. Jackson's daughter's raped by two white dudes in a Mississippi town, and there was a case earlier a year ago where white dudes got off for doing the same thing, so he decides to kill him. Matthew McConaughey and his team decide to take on the case and try to get Sammy Jackson off for clearly killing two dudes. She's really good in it. Like,
because they deserve to die,
yeah,
to be very honest.
Yeah,
with you.
Yeah, yeah. They deserve. I hope they burn in hell. That's I love that. That's one of my favorite Sammy Jackson performances. And this is the thing. She doesn't have to carry this movie.
Right.
She was the biggest star at the time. So she's the top build. But it's a Sammy Jackson movie. It's a Matthew McConaughey movie. But she's there. And her power helps keep it all together, because Matthew McConaughey wasn't...
Christopher Plummer shows up for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I love this movie. Like, I haven't watched it in so long. It's got both Sutherlands in it.
Yeah.
Ashley Judd. Like, there's so many people in this movie. And it's one of those I haven't watched in a while, but I remember loving it, and the performances are so good.
That's the thing. It still does hold up, because there's nothing fancy to it.
And she's not a standout in this, because it is... It's not her movie, but
right.
She's kind of the glue that keeps it together.
Yeah, she doesn't have the flashy scenes. That's Samuel L. Jackson. That's Matt McConaughey. Those guys, Kevin Spacey, they have more of the, I guess,
beef.
Bite to the
yeah.
scenes. Yeah, she does a great job. And I just saw it, or most of it, a couple months ago on one of the cable channels or whatever. And yeah, I'll watch it because it's still a well-made, well-acted movie. My number one, you've already mentioned, it's Gravity. And most of the things you said, I completely agree with. The star for me of the movie is the directing by Cuarón and the cinematography by Emmanuel Lubezki. Both won Oscars. Both deserve the hell out of the Oscars that they won. The Bullock was nominated, as you mentioned, for Best Lead Actress this year. She lost to Cate Blanchett, which I'll give you that. But as beautiful as Gravity was to look at, like you said, with the exception of a couple brief Clooney interludes, she does have to carry the movie. There's nothing for her to play off. She's acting in a space bubble. When we did our episode about The Martian, and we talked a lot about how Matt Damon gets credit for really carrying that movie, Sandra Bullock should get even more credit for this. Because she doesn't.
He had a great supporting cast.
He did. You could cut away to the ship that was
you
coming
had this
back.
Amazing cast. And the ship that's coming back.
Right.
And the base.
Ground team.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we have Ed Harris in Gravity.
Donnie Glover, Chiwetel Ejiofor. Like,
Ed Harris in Gravity.
Oh, Gravity.
But that's about it.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have that here. She is pretty much from. Within the first 10 minutes of the movie, it's basically hers to carry. And I think Matt Damon sort of had his plan and he was working his plan and hey, everything's going to work out because I've got help. For Sandra Bullock's character, she was gripping the whole time. And like you said, it's tough to watch. It is nerve wracking. I think we always sort of thought that things would be okay in The Martian just because, hey, it's Matt Damon. He's going to Matt Damon his way out of this. Sandra Bullock, I think, does a great job of you are never sure, just like she's never sure if she's going to be able to pull this off. And because she's working without a safety net of there's no Wilson, there's no nothing. If she fails, if she can't hold up the tension, the terror, then the movie fails. It did anything but. Gravity is a fantastic movie. It's a super simple premise. It's just somebody trying to get home and go. And if you can pull that off like Tom Hanks did with Castaway, it's just a guy trying to get home, trying to survive. He pulled that off. She did it as well, and I think it worked out.
My number one, we talk about speed. You had a great villain performance from a movie star. You had her co-starring with a legit movie star in a quality action movie, and she stole the show. The same could be said from 1993's Demolition Man, directed by Marco Brambilla, starring Sylvester Stallone as John Spartan, Wesley Snipes as Simon Phoenix. I love this era Wesley Snipes, and this is one of my favorite Wesley Snipes performances. And then Sandra Bullock is Huxley. I love this movie. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I legit love it. They freeze criminals, and Simon Phoenix is frozen, and Sylvester Stallone is frozen, and then they're awoken in the future, so you have that fish-out-of-water story, you have this conspiracy thing with everybody, the guy that's running Phoenix and stuff, and it's so well done, it's so ridiculous, and over the top, but there's enough there that it's not just your standard dumb action movie. Like, I feel like there's enough there, and a large part of that is because of Sandra Bullock. She's very, very funny in this movie. And this is like her first like major, like Love Potion number 9, I guess she was the star of, but this is like her first like major blockbuster movie that she was in. And she stole the show, and she was great. She's funny. I still laugh about the seashells regularly. Like, that's one of my favorite parts. Some of her lines are so delivered so innocently and perfectly that she's just so funny. I love her character in this. I really like this movie, and this kind of is like perfect Sandra Bullock to me. She's funny, she's cute, she's charming. There's enough action in there for her to do. She kind of does everything here, similar to her role in Speed.
Yeah, it was just a year before.
Yeah, I really, really like her in this movie, and I really love this movie.
I do enjoy Demolition Man. This one was really the only also-ran I had. Her humor works very well in this movie. Snipes is very charismatic and is capable of being super menacing, and also there's a bit of fun to his character.
Very comic book villain.
Right. Stallone is just being Stallone. I love a lot of the side characters in this one. Otho shows up. I love him. But yeah,
Dennis Leary.
Yeah, Dennis Leary. This movie, I think, to me, on its surface, big dumb action movie, but I think there are some funny things to it. I enjoy
the Taco Bell.
That's it. That's the only restaurant that survived the franchise wars, and it's like this super fancy restaurant now. It's just dumb stuff like that that I do find funny. You could have made Demolition Man a straight action movie where there weren't any laughs and it was Sylvester Stallone lobbing one-liners like Schwarzenegger was doing. And you could have done this movie that way. But I appreciated the tongue-in-cheek nature of it, and a lot of that is due to Sandy Bullock.
And I feel like they tried to do this with Dredd, but they had Rob Schneider in kind of the Sandy Bullock role, and it fell flat. My also-rans, I had Minions because I left it off because I thought you would. Two If by Sea, only because I went through a really heavy Dennis Leary phase in the 90s. The Net was entertaining. But then I just wanted to pull out a bunch. Like, she got this run for being this rom-com queen because she did, the Forces of Nature, a bunch. But then she would do different stuff along the way, like Murder by Numbers, Premonition, The Lake House with Keanu. Like, it's a romantic movie, but it's different. It's, like, time travel-y. It's
sci-fi.
Yeah, so she did do these rom-coms, but she never just was pigeonholed into that. And I feel like that has helped her remain relevant now and stay now, because she was never viewed as, yeah, she was, those were her hits and those were what she was known for, but she kept fresh doing all this stuff in between. She had a pretty awesome career. I like Sandra Bullock. Again, I'm not her target audience. I think Oceans is going to be fun. I can't imagine that cast being together and it not being at least entertaining. Next week, we have another fun one. It's probably one of the hardest lists I've had, the hardest times I've had putting together a list, narrowing it down.
Very
to five.
Broad. It's a broad
it's
category.
It's a very broad category. Tag comes out next week. And in case you haven't seen a preview, that's based on a true story. They're really hamming up the fact that that's based on a true story.
No pun intended, of course.
Yeah. Next week, we are doing our favorite based on a true story movies, which I'm interested to see that because I think we both kind of agree that we're not looking for like biopics. I think we're looking more for stories that are based on real life events, and maybe a bonus list might sneak in there. That's it for next week. And then we're coming up on halftime show in a few weeks after that. So as we get into summer, but until next week,
keep it up.